April 4th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
On his way.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Here.
We have a quorum. I hate to do this to you, but out of respect to our flag, please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A couple of things. First, you all know there's an election tomorrow. I urge you, and council all urges you, to get out and vote. You want to take a minute to recognize the exceptional work of the clerk's office over the last few weeks. There's some pretty challenging conditions, and you can see one of them in front of us, but the clerk's office has gone above and beyond in this election cycle thus far. And I just want to express my appreciation to the clerk's office. Thank you. And when you see the ladies and the poll workers, pat them on the back. They do a great job. You're laughing. Okay, don't.
She's a poll worker.
Oh. Don't. Who is that, Mary? Don't pat Mary on the back. All right. So who took my agenda? All right, Council, I'm looking for a motion to table items C, E, item 10, 12, 16, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26. These items are not time sensitive and can be held.
Say that again.
Second.
C, 10, 12, 16, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, and item E, which is 14.
I'll make the motion with the exception of item 10. I'd like to take item 10.
I'll second that.
Discussion on motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I am going to take out of order item G3, a resolution authorizing issuance and sale of $5,935,000 in general obligation refunding bonds, Series 2016A. Mr. Rotzenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This evening we have with us Don Gunderson from Ellers. And what's before the Common Council is an item which was authorized a month ago to refund some bonds that are outstanding for the city, to refinance those at a lower interest rate and save the taxpayers several hundreds of thousand dollars over the remaining portion of that bond offering. So Don Gunderson is here to explain the details of the bid that was opened this morning. And what's before you is a resolution authorizing the sale of those bonds. Ms. Anderson.
And Ms. Gunderson, as you know, they're all here waiting to hear from you.
Thank you. Is this on?
It's on the bottom.
Is it on now?
There
okay.
You go.
Thank you. I'll be brief because I know there's a lot of other important business to be handled this evening. But you can provide it with two documents. One is a resolution and one is a sale day report. The resolution that was distributed today was prepared this afternoon by your bond attorney, Quarles and Brady, and that resolution has been adjusted with the results of today's sale. So you'll note that the dollar amount on the authorization of that resolution has been lowered to $5,770,000 general obligation bonds. We were able to do that because of the bids that came in from today's sale. So the resolution you'll be considered will be the one that was distributed to your seat this evening. Now, the pre-sale report summarizes the results of the sale. We took competitive bids at 10 o'clock this morning. We're pleased to report we had 12 bidders, which is exceptionally good. I haven't seen that many in quite some time. And with those bids, We had a range of interest rates that went from a true interest cost of 1.03% as our low to 1.55 as our high. The difference between those, that spread is $83,000, so the benefit of doing a competitive sale. So the resolution this evening would be authorizing the award to the low bid, who was Raymond James out of Memphis, Tennessee, at the 1.03 true interest cost. We were able to adjust the size. The outcome then of today's sale results is a savings, as Mr. Rosenberg mentioned, of about $400,000 to the taxpayers of Franklin, and over a period of 5 years, so it's an annual savings of approximately $80,000 a year. That savings is summarized on page 7 of this report. And again, that's a reduction in the principal as we were issuing, and then the results of the savings on the interest rates. So we're pleased to report this, and would certainly recommend that you consider accepting the bid.
Is there a motion authorizing the issuance and sale of $5,770,000 in general obligation refunding bonds, Series 2016A?
Second.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Motion passes 5 ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstentions. Thank you, Council, for taking that order. We move back to the regular order of business and item D, a hearing on a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025. I'd rather not inconvenience the folks for that one. So, Mr. Deedle, you have a meeting notice?
Yes, sir. Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Monday, April 4th, 2016, at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard, in the Common Council chambers at the City of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan.
Excuse me, Joel. Sorry. Yes, sir. I blew it already. Third item. Actually, we're going to move to item B, citizen comment period.
Sure.
So, citizen comment period, we're going to enforce the 3-minute rule because there's so many of you here today that may want to have a say on something. So, 3 minutes apiece, please try not to reiterate what someone else has already said. I'm not telling you what to say, but 500 times in a row it gets a little. But this is citizen comment period on any issue, so the public hearing on the comprehensive master plans comes up next. So, okay. Mr. Lucky, please.
Yes, sir. Name is Jim Lucky. I live at 4925 West Rossett Avenue, and I'm going to ask Your Honor Mayor Olson and the council if they considered my email about putting item G10. In front of the rest of the citizen comment period.
I'm unaware of an email from you. I don't think that was on the list.
I did send one to the city clerk and the council members Sunday, and I presumed you had it, Mayor Olson. Council members got the email?
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Alderwoman Wilhelm, there's 300 people here on one issue, so I'd rather not inconvenience that.
Okay, council, have any opinion on that? Okay, well, then I'm going to speak in favor of the item G10 for Franklin Historical Society. You've got two motions in front of you. About our barn project, our barn museum project. And I think everybody on the council is well aware of what my opinion is on this. Behind me here is a couple speakers from the Franklin Historical Society, Mr. Ken Garlish, who has been the head of our fundraising committee Ken has done some fantastic work, not only for this barn museum project, but in so many other ways. And I think he is one person that could speak to why this barn museum project is so important, so essential to the city of Franklin. And next to him is Barbara Forbes. Barbara is one of the founders of the Franklin Historical Society going back to 1969. She is our curator, and Barbara has 47 years of dedicated service to the Franklin Historical Society and the Franklin community. I want everybody just to think about how much she has brought to this community, and I know she's been wanting this barn museum for many, many years, so I'm just going to ask their next two speakers to be Ken and Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Foote.
Well, as Jim said, Ken Gosrich from Franklin here. And yes, we definitely are looking forward to getting this thing off the ground. We've been doing a lot of groundwork, as you councilman has known, and there's been a lot of hoops to jump through, as we all recognize we're trying to do some building in Franklin. We think that you're all pretty well familiar with the concept review, and we would hope and pray that you would pass this so we can get this thing underway. A lot of people are standing in line to do the groundwork of put the foundation in the ground, all these different things, and trying to get some bids out real quickly to get the barn up as quickly as possible. Al Block, some of you remember him from the school of fame here in Franklin. This was one of his dreams from many, many years ago already. He's been working on it for quite a long time. We've been blessed by a few people in the city of Franklin giving about $70,000 towards our $100,000 goal. And if you're so concerned, love to have you do even more if you can. And the city's been very good to be able to kick in another great large sum of money. We really thank them for that, too. So we just encourage you to pass this, those of you that are familiar with this concept review, and we've definitely looking forward for a long time to keep some of the values that, agrarian living has been brought to our the beginning of our city of Franklin here. I'll turn it over to Barb. Thank you very much.
We need your address first, please.
Sure. 8849 West Lake Point, and there's an E on the end of that, Circle, behind Michelangelo's.
My name is Barbara Ford, 12201 West Russin Avenue. I'm currently on the board of the Franklin Historical Society, and for over 40 years we've been trying to preserve the history of Franklin by moving buildings into the park, and this has contributed a lot to the cultural history of our city. For the past 9 years, we've hosted 9,000 children to the complex, and they have viewed the different buildings. They've experienced the day in a schoolhouse. And the one thing that they are not experiencing is what we were all about originally, and that is a farm community with the barn. So it's very important that we have that component in our historical complex. It will provide a safe environment for the tools that we have collected and for more that we hope to have. It's very important that we preserve these tools and the agrarian life so that, because it's disappearing from us, and children who come to our complex don't even sometimes know what a barn really is like and what the hard work that was involved in this agrarian community. It will be a place for young and old to gather, to share the past with each other. It will enrich our understanding of our agriculture roots, and it will help our citizens appreciate the efforts of our founding fathers and their contributions to the economic history. We also know that it will enrich the culture and it will bring people to our community, which will be a wonderful thing. We already do have a lot of visitors, but this will add to it. So I personally would like to thank you for your continuing support in helping the Franklin Historical Society carry out its mission, which seeks to preserve and foster appreciation of local history and to maintain living museums for educational and community enrichment. I urge you to approve this art project.
Thank you.
Mary Jean Ingersoll,
8162 South Legend Drive. We live next door to Lions Legend Park, and I have nothing against everything that the Historical Society has done there. But we would like the council not to approve the excavation of the foundation for that barn because they do not have the funding to complete this project. So we may be looking at, and I know all of our neighbors may be looking at a hole in the ground for maybe years to come. So, and the other thing is, we are neighbors, Forest Hill Village is right next door, and we were never informed of this project. And in addition to that, you know, many of us use the park, and we would have to be looking at that hole in the ground for years to come if they don't get the funding. So anyway, that is our point, and I'll end it there.
My name is Pat Murray, 8162 South Legend Drive. I'm also want to talk about the barn at the Historical Society. Concerned that the city is already committed or is about to commit $20,000 to this thing, which the Historical Society is including into their revenue of $58,000, which is only halfway there. This project, the fundraising has been going on for years and years, and if this was a real burning issue for the city of Franklin and city of Franklin donors, this thing would have already happened. Also, I am also concerned as well about digging a foundation for a building that we don't know we can actually fund. Nowhere in the history of Franklin have we allowed a homeowner to buy a piece of property, put in a basement, and say, oh, by the way, as soon as I get the rest of the money, I'll put up the house. But that's exactly what you're asking, the Historical Society is asking us to do. I am also concerned about the placement. I know they've worked real hard to avoid hitting the trees, but that's a very steep slope, and a lot of cutting and filling will have to be done in order to put this barn up. And let's be honest here. This barn is a four-car garage. It has no historical significance to the city other than it is an example of a barn. The rest of the buildings in the business in the park are significant. Wayland School, the town hall, and the chapel are all significant pieces. The Historical Society needs to have the money to do this project before they ask us to start digging holes in the ground. Thank you.
We've got divergent lines here.
Yeah.
You guys will have to work that out on your own.
Mr. Weiss. Does anybody else want to talk about the historical property?
Hey, Jim.
All right.
Speak your enemies.
Jim Weisick, 8756 West Mallard Court. I'd like to talk to you about the rock project. I did some investigating and called the county supervisor, Tony Staskunas, who is the supervisor of that area. I asked if he knew of anything going on pertaining to the rock. He said as of this last Friday, he had not seen any paperwork pertaining to the rock, no applications or inspections applied for. I also heard that a TIF district is being considered. If we rezone and go to a TIF district, number one, I'd like to know what is the value of this development, the total value. How much is it going to cost the city in the long run? How much is Mr. Zimmerman putting up for this? And is there any private sector money being put into it? How much tax money is this going to generate for the city of Franklin? Now, once all the financial plans have been put forward to you people, I think then you can first do your think about rezoning. I would hope the Common Council would be fiscally responsible to its citizens. So, and I got one more thing to say. To avoid conflict of interest because of a close personal friendship between Mr. Zimmerman and Alderman Taylor, I am asking Alderman Taylor to recuse himself from voting on any of these issues pertaining to the Rock.
And you're laughing at this? You shouldn't be laughing.
Thank you.
Everybody. Okay. This, for those of you who haven't been to one of these meetings before, I try to discourage clapping because it's just not proper decorum for this circumstance. So if you wouldn't mind, please, in both directions. There are people that will clap for and against, so understand, it goes both ways. So nobody does it, then it's all good. Sir, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dr. Margaret Levitch, and I live at 7269 South Stonehedge Drive, and I strongly oppose the rezoning of this property. I would like to open up again, as I did at the plan committee meeting, with a quote from Alderman Steve Taylor. For 6 years, I served this district. When the master plan was discussed, we had dozens of public meetings and hearings, and I didn't miss the single-family designation. The former mayor didn't miss it. This was not a mistake. We left that area single-family for a reason. For many of them, their homes are the biggest asset they'll ever have, and to pull the rug out from under them and allow apartments to be built is wrong. Alderman Taylor said this a little more than a year ago concerning the proposed Hickory Grove apartment complex when running for an aldermanic recall election. Now, Mr. Taylor is a strong advocate of an apartment complex that his friend Mike Zimmerman intends to build. As I brought up at the Plan Commission meeting and documented in public record, Mr. Taylor has received considerable campaign donations, thousands of dollars from the developer Mike Zimmerman, and is the single largest contributor to his campaign. He even hosts his campaign fundraisers at the developer's business, The Rock, while this issue is in front of the Common Council. If in the private sector, Mr. Taylor would not even be allowed to vote on this project as he has a clear conflict of interest. If I were to do this in my medical practice, I would lose my license. Ethically, Mr. Taylor should remove himself from this vote. In addition, the developer has landscape architect Kevin Haley on his development team, knowing full well that he was on the plan commission. Once again, we have a clear conflict of interest, a behavior that keeps repeating itself. It is clear to me what is going on here. Mr. Haley ended up being the deciding vote to pass this project through the Plan Commission. As witnessed by many of members here in this room, Mr. Haley was clearly taking cues from co-developer Blair Williams as to how to proceed with voting and made representations to other Plan Commissioners that were simply not true. If you have not seen this, I suggest that you review the taped meeting. This behavior in our government is unjust and does not fairly represent the interests of Franklin taxpayers. A vote for the rezoning of the old horse farm is for a new style of government where we allow the developer to bias our leaders through campaign donations and creating conflicts of interest for our officials by having them become a part of their development team. This looks really bad for Franklin. Regardless how you feel about the ballpark comments, it signals to developers that to get your project through Franklin, you need to grease the wheels through campaign contributions and putting public officials on your development team. In addition, to rush this vote before the DNR has even ruled as to whether the baseball stadium is even environmentally safe is clearly imprudent. Prematurely rezoning property before a DNR decision is made is completely unfair to the citizens of the surrounding neighborhood. If the baseball stadium proves to be environmentally unsafe or too costly built, the citizens are then struck with an apartment structure or whatever Mr. Zimmerman chooses to do with the mixed-use designation.
Doctor,
yep.
Time's up.
Thank you. I'll give him some of my time.
As brought up in a frantic email that Steve Taylor wrote to Franklin public officials that is now public record, Mr. Taylor was more concerned with financial interests of the developer over due process for Franklin citizens and taxpayers. His email implied that members of the Plan Commission wanted additional time to consider this complicated proposal. This is the most complicated development in the history of Franklin, and we are going warp speed in cutting corners. This project is being completely rammed through our common council at the expense of Franklin citizens. This is terrible public policy. At the Plan Commission meeting, Commissioner Scott Vinnis even indicated he felt rushed by receiving the new developmental plans for all of 48 hours before the meeting. Rush projects usually end in disaster, especially when you are trying to build on environmentally complex land as a landfill. Council members, if you vote for the rezoning of this property, you are culpable for this type of government. Election day is tomorrow, and all citizens ask for is fairness. What is going on with this project is not fair. Even Steve Taylor knows it is unfair. On his Facebook page from a little over a year ago, he states, Franklin does not need any additional apartment complexes, and doing so will negatively affect these residents. Therefore, I ask that you vote no for the premature rezoning of the old horse farm before DNR approval. It is the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Jim Crone, 7145 South Carrington. I was going to say a lot of that, so I won't repeat. But I do thank you for listening to citizen comments. I haven't been that involved in the local politics, but I appreciate the process now and appreciate your attention. So my wife and two daughters, we're currently building a house, and it's adjacent right to the property where the horse farm was. So obviously we're building a house, and right next door is the proposal that you'll see with all the apartment complexes right now. It's changed a few times, so not exactly sure what's going to be built there. But my wife and kids, we took a lot of time figuring out where we were going to build, and we could have built in Muskego, New Berlin. We chose Franklin. Franklin was the right community for us, the right location, the schools are solid, and we like the look and feel of the community. And that's where the promise comes in. As we looked at the farm, we understood what it was, and we said, what is it going to become? And they said it was zoned residential, and that was a promise to us, and checked multiple times. And now 2 years later, our house is about to be completed, and we find out that it's no longer going to be residential next to where we're building. So that really taints something that was going to be very special to us. So my point, too, then, is really the process, and that's what the doctor just hit on, is that's the part I'm amazed at. I understand you don't want to take forever to make decisions, but this thing has been going so dang fast. I mean, look at the binders you got in front of you, how thick they are, and when you got those, probably, 24, 36, 48 hours ago. Do you have enough time? The Plan Commission didn't feel like they had enough time to review it. So just do the due diligence. Take the time. And then the last point is the rezoning, is why does that have to go first? It's a very complex project, as the developers have admitted. What if something doesn't go through? The DNR approval doesn't come through. Now we've rezoned it, and now we can change the plan that we have, and we could end up putting the sports complex on the south side of Rawson. Is that what we want as a community? So thank you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to think through this.
For the record, Alderman D'Andrea is at a seat at 708.
Good evening. My name is Patrice Selke, and I live at 7755 West Plainsview Drive for 32 years. And I have to say, Mr. Zimmerman, thank you so very much. I don't think you've been hearing that enough. Yeah. And I know that everybody on my block who wasn't able to make it this evening is really excited about this farm team and about growth in Franklin. I don't know if you've noticed, but when the Franklin Council Board says no to a business, Oak Creek goes, come on down. And they've been building like crazy. And in order to grow and be progressive, you need to start to spend some money. You can't just live in the same way that we've been living. And who really cares about that horse farm? I mean, really, it's an eyesore, you know? So, I'm not taking questions. So anyway, I also would like a suggestion as well, is that I know that Trader Joe's, which is a really big hit for me and a lot of people in Franklin, I found out that they actually asked Franklin, they wanted to be in Franklin first before they were in New Berlin. I found it out from the horse's mouth. And they were turned down. So I would love to see Trader Joe's be in this complex. And I was always trying to see how can I...
I thought you were going to yell at me, so I appreciate it.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I see the articles, and I'm like, yeah, go. I think we really need to do it. And you know what? We can't just have large, expensive homes. We have all different size homes, all different types of financial situations, and we need to be, diverse. We have to be diversified in how we have our community. It can't just be the big homes in Franklin. It needs to be something more than that. And really, I really appreciate your vision and that you have lived here your whole life. You grew up here and then you went out and did your career and then you came back and now you want to give back. I think that's terrific. And a farm team, I grew up, I have two sons, they're both adults now, but that would have been terrific. That would have been great. And it's about time.
Thank you.
So thank you.
I'm clapping. Okay, great. You see, that's why we don't want clapping. See, some of you will clap for opposing, some of you clap for it. It'll be all clap all night. It doesn't help anybody. And I need to remind everybody, let's treat each other with respect. And everybody's opinion counts here. On top of that, I need to make a comment. These are how rumors get started. I've been involved with the city since 1991, mostly with economic development and being an alderman. The city planner's been here for 10 years, director of administration. We never heard from Trader Joe's. I talked to Trader Joe's, but they never called us. There was never a proposal. I just want, you know, that's how rumors get started. That's how people always start pointing fingers. So let's be clear about that. Okay, thank you.
My name is Justin Zelansky, and I live at 7315 South Stonehenge Drive. Mr. Mayor, thank you for pointing that out to Trader Joe's. I appreciate it. Solely by way of background, and because I want to talk a little financing, I've been a practicing commercial finance attorney for the last 10 years. Now, I've spoken with many members of the council directly on the ballpark commons issue and expressed my concerns and, to be fair, my disappointments regarding this process. I'm disappointed that I relied on the city's master plan and current zoning when selecting the location of my home, and how I, using Alderman Taylor's words, am now having the rug pulled out from underneath me. I'm disappointed we have no idea how this project will be financed, particularly how much the city will be on the hook for. Although I did notice in the developer's own stadium consultant report, there's an indication that the average city contribution for similar stadiums is 80% because the team does not generate enough revenue to pay for a large part of the stadium on its own. I'm disappointed that all the independent studies I've been able to find clearly state that there is no economic benefit to communities that have independent league baseball, and how independent baseball teams typically don't last more than 4 years in any location before folding or moving. And these are on markets where there isn't an existing major league competition. I'm worried that the ballpark commons will become the next ice port. You know, the last failed regional sports destination that was supposed to be a mixed-use development with hotels and retail and restaurants that, 10 years later, is literally still a hole in the center of Cudahy. I'm disappointed Alderman Taylor has different standards for projects depending on whether or not he's friends with the developer, which also happens to be a significant campaign contributor. I am more disappointed Alderman Taylor has used the memorandum of understanding executed with the developer to threaten the Plan Commission into rushing this project through, especially after the Common Council debated the issue and determined that the MOU didn't promise the developer anything. But I'm really worried that if the city rezones this project before knowing all the facts, then Alderman Taylor and the developer will use this action to further threaten the city to bend to the developer's wishes. I'm disappointed that we're even talking about this polarizing proposal hours before the polls open for an election. However, I still think there's a chance to reverse course and do the right thing. Rather than bull rush this half-baked proposal through, I urge you to send it back to the Planning Commission to give the developer time to create a real proposal with real neighbor input. This would also give the developer time to get environmental approvals, work on his financing, all while allowing the city time to have our own special financial consultant, which has been hired, report on their findings. Once we know that the stadium can even be built and what the real tax impact on Franklin residents will be, then the city should re-examine this project. After all, in the developer's own proposal, he states that none of the mixed-use retail restaurants or hotels are possible without the stadium. It seems to me we should at least know if the stadium is even possible, both environmentally and financially, before moving ahead. I've said this before, the doctor said it as well. It is worth repeating. This has to be the most complicated proposal in the history of the city. It's not worth snap judgments to go rush through on the fact without knowing all the facts. Thank you.
That, my little friends, is 3 minutes.